live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. It is Friday, December 20th, 2019. We are now just 5 days away from the Christmas holiday. It's my favorite holiday of the entire calendar year. I mean, it really doesn't get better than Christmas, right? I love it. I love it, folks. And this will be our final live current sports show before Christmas. So enjoy this one. We'll have some best of shows in store for you guys come next week. I'm going to try and dig really, really deep into the crate next week and bring up some interviews and some shows that we had, you know, like around the summertime as well. You know, I want to really dig and find some really cool stuff for you guys. All right. So, yeah, final show before Christmas. I'm excited. And it's Friday. You know, you've made it to the end of the week. You know, you probably have just a few more hours left on that J-O-B, and then you can enjoy the weekend, finalize your Christmas shopping like myself. Yeah, I always wait to the last minute. Got a chance to cross off a few people on my list yesterday, but a happy December 20th and happy holidays to you and yours. We've got Connor Mathis behind the glass chipping in for this final edition of the show before the Christmas holiday. Connor, of course, chipping in as Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio are already enjoying their Christmas vacation. Connor, how you doing, my man? And happy holidays to you as well.
Happy holidays. I'm doing all right. Last night I got to watch a really good basketball game. Langsburg and PW. Oh, man.
Oh, you're talking about those high school basketball. Ow. Okay, I thought you were talking about NBA for a second.
No,
okay.
I missed the NBA because I was covering that game. Al, it was a shootout.
That's
25
a
25 total threes.
How many?
25 total threes between the two teams. Langsburg, 83% of their field goals were three-pointers. They hit three regular field goals.
Wow.
It was great.
That is amazing. And I think that's a kind of a window into how the game is changing today. I mean, not just at the professional and collegiate level, but at the youth level as well. I feel like the three-point line is becoming more and more important. That's pretty amazing. And anytime Powamo Westphalia takes on Langsburg, it's always going to be a fun game. I mean, those are two rivalry schools. You know, Luke Pohl is one of my guys. I mean, I love Luke Pohl. He's done a fantastic job with the Pirates program. Who won that game?
Langsburg. 61-59.
Whoa. How did it finish?
Well, it went back and forth for most of the game. So when I talked to Langsburg's coach, they said that they were going to shoot it. That was part of their game plan. But it got to the end of the third quarter, PW was up by one, and Langsburg's shooters just got on a heater in the fourth quarter and just rained down. PW missed some threes late. But, I mean, some of the threes were college range. They were just taking them defense, no defense. And in the end of the game, Gabe Hawes from Langsburg had the meanest crossover I've ever seen in a high school basketball game.
Like, awesome.
He crossed them over. Kid stumbled and then had an aftershock and fell down.
Jeez.
It was a great ending.
It's always, you know, I had just had a flashback just now when I was a reporter at Channel 6. And, you know, I used to have to go out and shoot those high school basketball games and high school football games. And I remember covering a Langsburg and PW game. This is when Greg Mitchell was the head coach over at Langsburg, the Wolfpack. And they won on a buzzer beater. Langsburg did. courtesy of a three-pointer on the right wing. In the whole, it was at Langsberg. The whole student section, all the fans stormed the court. It was pretty amazing. So. Awesome stuff. I'm glad you got to cover that. Yeah, I thought you at first were talking about last night's NBA slate, which was so fun to watch as the Milwaukee Bucks and LA Lakers went at it. And then not too long after that, you saw the Houston Rockets outlast the LA Clippers. So those were two fun games that I was glued to my couch watching, and I stayed up until like 3 a.m. watching the best crew in sports television. That is Ernie Johnson, Kenny the Jet Smith, Charles Barkley, and Shaquille O'Neal. So I love them on Inside the NBA. So, all right, on today's current sports, I want to address some unfortunate news that broke yesterday during Tom Izzo's media availability for Michigan State men's basketball, as we found out that Joshua Langford is finito. He will not play this year, which is his senior season for the Michigan State men's basketball team. That's what Tom Izzo addressed yesterday on Thursday afternoon, explaining, trying to explain why this is good news for the Michigan State senior guard. And, we'll discuss what the next chapter will be for Joshua Langford and MSU men's basketball. All right. So we'll get to that. Also, later on this hour, I want to talk about the NFL weekend that will be as we inch closer to the NFL playoffs. And there are a few teams that are fighting for their playoff lives. So we'll have an NFL weekend, what to watch for. And also, we'll have Reflection Friday, where we look back at the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports. And we'll have some more Christmas chatter as well, seeing as though this is the final show before December 25, all right? So if you would like to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, again, Joshua Langford, he has been ruled out for the season. Tom Izzo made that announcement after yesterday's Michigan State men's basketball practice at the Breslin Center. Langford was hoping to play this season after missing most of last year with a foot injury, but he suffered a setback prior to the start of the season and was ruled out at the time until January, where he was supposed to be reevaluated. But another setback, Langford will need foot surgery. It's his second foot surgery in the past year, and it's unclear if he'll try to return next season. MSU men's basketball does return to the Breslin Center tomorrow to take on in-state foe Eastern Michigan at 7 p.m., all right? So Langford out for the year. More on that story in just a moment. All right, number 14, Michigan men's basketball will host Presbyterian in a non-conference matchup Saturday at noon. And Presbyterian, they came up short in an 81-58 game to Jacksonville on Wednesday. Michigan has dropped to number 14 in the latest AP rankings following losses to Illinois and Oregon last week. So we'll see if Michigan can get back on a winning track when they, again, play host to Presbyterian tomorrow at noon. And the Michigan State women's basketball team will take on Syracuse, the number 19 team in the nation for Susie Merchant and her squad. They will take on Syracuse in the Florida Sunshine Classic. That is today, in about 20 minutes from now, at 1:30 p.m. So the Spartans are 7-2 heading into the battle with Syracuse, which stands 5-4 this season. The two teams also met in the Florida Sunshine Classic in 2014, with Michigan State earning the 89-76 win. Michigan State will close out the tournament against number 22 West Virginia tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. And it will be the first meeting between the Spartans and West Virginia. So again, at 1:30 p.m., Michigan State women's basketball tipping off against Syracuse. When that game does indeed tip off, we will give you a score update at some point on the back end of the show, all right? Okay, the first ever meeting between San Diego State and Central Michigan on the football field will take place on Saturday when the two teams square off in Albuquerque for the New Mexico Bowl. Kick time is set for 2 p.m., and you can catch that one on ESPN. So we'll see if the Chips can fire up and get the dub there in their bowl game. And also, the Detroit Pistons will be in action tonight as they will visit the Boston Celtics at TD Garden for a 7:30 p.m. tip-off time. The Pistons sitting at 11-17 on the season, and the Celtics are 18-7. The Celtics are actually 10-1 at home for the year and are coming off a 109-103 victory over Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks on Wednesday. The Pistons are just 4-9 on the road, 5-5 across their last 10 games, and coming off back-to-back losses to the Washington Wizards and Toronto Raptors. That most recent loss coming at the hands of the Raptors, that was a 112-99 final. They are also likely to still be without their top star in Blake Griffin, who has had his share of ups and downs when trying to get healthy for the red, white, and royal blue. So again, Pistons and Celtics tonight, 7:30 p.m. at TD Garden. And the Red Wings of Detroit will travel to Toronto to take on the Maple Leafs tomorrow. The Wings are looking to snap a two-game losing streak after falling to the Kings last Sunday and Blue Jackets on Tuesday. Puck drop is set for 7 p.m., and that game can be seen on Fox Sports Detroit tomorrow. And if you care, the Limping Lions of Detroit will travel to Denver to take on the Broncos. The Lions have enough players on injured reserve to field an entire side, but could get one key player back this week in the form of Kerryon Johnson, Detroit's top running back. He has been on IR since tearing his meniscus in his right knee during a Week 7 game against Minnesota, but he began practicing 3 weeks ago and is eligible to be activated for Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos. Kickoff for that one will be 4 p.m. You can catch it on CBS. And right now, the Lions really aren't playing for anything. They are already mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. So what do you gain out of this game? Connor, I have no idea.
Would you believe that they're only a 7-point dog?
No. Are you serious?
Yeah. I just looked it up. I'm like, you know, well, let's have a look and see. Maybe you want to gamble on this game. You know, Michigan just making it legal.
Yeah.
Let's see what it is. 7-point dogs. I'm like, 7 points. Ooh.
That's
not a lot of faith in Drew Locke.
That's insane. Well, I tell you what, maybe Vegas knows something that we don't know.
Maybe Kerryon Johnson is coming back and he's going to put the entire team on his back to a 1-point loss.
Again, I don't know. That sounds like some inside information that Vegas may have. 7-point line in favor of the Broncos?
Yeah, 7-point dogs for the Lions.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I think that's going to be a massacre. I think the Broncos will at least win by 2 touchdowns. But, hey, what do I know? All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hear your reaction to Josh Langford being out for the year. We haven't seen Josh all season because of this foot injury, but a really just down and out end for one of Michigan State's, I don't know, best personalities, I guess you can say. I love Josh Langford, man. I mean, I love covering him. I love his personality. The dude is such a hard worker, and you just hate to see Josh's Michigan State chapter possibly end this way. So your reaction to that? Any NFL, you know, thoughts as we approach now? What we just have like what 2 weeks left in the regular season NFL year, which is insane. We did not have a Thursday night football game. You know, it didn't hit me until late. I was like, oh, who's the Thursday night game tonight? And no, there was no Thursday night game. I believe we even had
three Saturday games though.
Right, we have Saturday football tomorrow.
Three of them.
Three Saturday games.
Texans, Buccaneers, Bills, and Patriots, and then who's – I'm trying to think the other one. I think it's Titans and somebody.
Wow.
I'm not sure,
that's going to be fun, man. And a warning to you all, I'm glad we did mention this because it's championship week for many of you in your respective fantasy football leagues like myself, and make sure you get that roster set tonight. Do that right now. Do it right now, while you listen to current sports.
The third game is Rams 49ers. So
okay, so it's not the Titans.
Not Rams. The Titans.
Oh, Rams 49ers. The Rams. The Rams aren't that great.
Nah, but they're not.
But they're not. They're not slouch.
Yeah, they might. So. They might be able to do something.
Right.
The bare minimum.
Okay. All right. Well, some Saturday football for you guys. All right. Well, let's keep on keeping on here on WKAR's Current Sports. Again, phone lines are open 517-355-WKAR 517-355-9527. Yes, a little Christmas music to get you guys in the spirit. I love this time of the year. But you know what? It's also a reminder that, you know, there are some people out there who dread this time of the year because you may have lost a loved one earlier in 2019 or recently in recent years. Or you may be going through just something really tough within your family or just in your life in general. It can be a tough time of the year for many, many, many of us. So hopefully, you know, when we turn on these mics here at 1 p.m. for WKAR's Current Sports, hopefully we can just take you guys away for a little bit, those who are sports fans and are fans of this show. Happy holidays to you, and we hope we can bring some joy to you guys as this will be the final live edition of Current Sports before December 25. That doesn't mean we're going away, because if you tune in next week at 1 p.m., all throughout the week we will have Current Sports shows. They will just be throwback shows. So don't be confused if we're talking about, you know, some old sporting event that already took place. All right, it's a best of show. But thank you guys so much. We appreciate the support. And again, I always say this, we can't do what we do without you. All right. I got some unfortunate news yesterday, Spartan Nation. As you know by now, and as you heard in our Current Sports quick hit headliners, Joshua Langford is out for the season. You know, one of my favorite players to cover, due to his really magnetic personality and just how humble he is. Always has a smile on his face, is always polite. He's just a good kid, a good kid. We found out on Thursday that Joshua Langford will have to go through, you know, a second surgery now on his foot, and he will now miss, it has been confirmed, that he will miss the entire 2019-2020 campaign. Now, if you guys remember at the beginning of the season when it was known that Joshua Langford did have a recurring injury to that foot, he would have to sit out, and we were told that he would be reevaluated in January. And January is right around the corner. So Joshua, he saw a specialist, and he's got to have surgery. So this is just more bad news for a player who's had a ton of it over this last year. So, you know, this is a bit of what Izzo had to say, quote, it's way more of a positive than a negative, because I think it's positive that his future in basketball is still there, that he has a future in basketball, and for that I'm really excited. And Izzo also went on to say that, quote, I think there was a worry that he may never play basketball again. I think that is more gone. So that is certainly a positive sign. If this surgery allows Joshua Langford to still keep his basketball dreams intact, then that's awesome. That is awesome. And, you know, when he came to Michigan State as a five-star prospect, a lot of people forget that. Joshua Langford is no slouch. I mean, this kid can ball. You know, I think it may be an afterthought to many of us because we haven't seen Josh play in quite a long time. But he came to MSU as a five-star prospect back in 2016. And, you know, it took a couple of years before we really started to see Josh develop his game. I remember his freshman campaign. I just thought he was overthinking a bit. He kind of reminded me of what Aaron Henry is going through right now. Didn't shoot great. Started pressing, started forcing shots at the iron. And, you know, I remember interviewing him with his dad alongside him about those frustrations. And he said, look, man, I just got to let the game come to me. But, man, you know, he really seemed to come into his own. I would probably say at the start of his junior year, that 2018-2019 season in which he was averaging 15 points per game. He was also shooting around a 40% clip from the floor and, from three-point range. And, you know, in those first 13 games of last season, I mean, this dude, without a doubt, looked like an NBA caliber player. And then the pain in his foot began to surface in late December. And his season was cut short. And it was termed a stress injury to a bone in his foot. So he had surgery. He had a lot of rehab. He was back practicing. And, you know, he decided to, okay, I got one more year at this thing. And then I want to, you know, dip my toe in the waters of the NBA. But, you know, what's that old saying? My grandma used to always say this when I was growing up. You know, we make plans and the man upstairs laughs. You know, we have all these plans, right? And we want to do this by the time we're this age. And we want to accomplish that goal and then do this and then travel the world and do this. And that's all fine and dandy. But sometimes our plans don't always go the way we want them to go. Our plans don't always pan out. But listening to Izzo yesterday, and as you just heard in that quote, it looks as though after this surgery, this second surgery for Josh Langford, I mean, all you want is for Josh at this point, all you want for this young man is to have a shot at making his NBA pro basketball dreams come true. And if this second surgery allows him to do that, then more power to him. Do I think that there are some NBA teams out there that will look at his resume of having now two surgeries to his foot as a possible red flag? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, teams are going to look at that and say, okay, Josh, you've had two surgeries to the same foot. Is this a recurring problem here? I think that Josh is going to nail the interviews, without a doubt. And I think he's going to have to prove himself in combines, in private workouts with teams. And also, I think that Josh will find himself probably on a summer league team, and he's going to have to put up at least averaging somewhere between 13 to 15 points. And then we could possibly see him work himself into a groove that will give him a great shot at making an NBA roster. But I just think that, you know, you talk about the NBA draft next year. I think that a lot of teams are going to look at 2 foot surgeries and say, that's a little bit risky. Maybe if he's still sitting there as a late second round pick, then I think a team will maybe take a shot at him. You know, low risk, high reward if he is healthy. So, you know, as for his future with the program, Izzo said Langford still hopes to turn pro after this season. He is not looking for a red shirt. You know, he wants to move on. He wants to move on. And I totally get that. Totally get that. He wants to turn pro after this year. He wants to earn a contract playing somewhere, whether that is the G League, of course the NBA, but whether that's the G League or even playing overseas. You know, when he spoke to us in October, he said that he definitely, he noted that this will definitely be his last season in East Lansing. But he said that he will do, and this is Josh's faith, his deep, deep faith in the man upstairs. He said that he will do whatever God, quote, calls me to do. So he would be eligible to redshirt this year and return as a fifth-year player in 2021. So I tell you this, Connor. I don't think that's totally off the table. I tell you what, this is what will have to play out if Joshua Langford is going to take that redshirt and return next season. One, God is going to have to tell him to do it. That's number one. But number two, what will lead to that conclusion would be Josh talking to NBA execs, talking to coaches, GMs out there, again, through Izzo, because Izzo has a ton of connections in the NBA. He does this with all of his pro prospects. Josh and Izzo and, you know, Josh's family will talk to these NBA teams, and they will give him an honest answer as to where they believe his draft stock will be. If Josh is not happy with that draft stock and they say, all right, you're probably a late second round pick. I don't think he's a first round pick with 2 foot surgeries, but, you know, you may be a second round pick, a late second round pick. Heck, you may go undrafted. I think there's a chance that Josh will be spooked a bit and will say, all right, let me give this collegiate thing one more shot and let me see if I can play a healthy season. That's the only thing I think that will spook him into coming back into it, you know, for 2021. If he gets negative reviews that don't live up to his expectations of where he believes his draft stock to be, he will say to himself, all right, third time's the charm here. I don't know. What do you think here, and what do you think it's going to take? Do you think Josh, regardless of what these NBA people say, do you think he's gone?
I think he's coming back next year.
You think so?
I think so. I don't see a scenario given his – I mean, it's not – his collegiate career doesn't really have a complete picture. Last we checked in with Josh Langford when he was playing, he was still kind of working on, I think, some of his decision-making, shooting the ball, and just kind of his play in general. I think given that his collegiate like tape is sort of incomplete, add on 2 injuries, I don't think there's an NBA team that's going to – there's only 2 rounds of the NBA draft. I don't think there's an NBA team out there that's going to burn a pick on him. So if he does decide it's time for him to go – he's looking at undrafted, kind of grind through summer league kind of player. And even then, even if you grind through summer league, unless you're one of those top guys, you're not guaranteed a spot in training camp. You're more on like the G League circuit. And, you know, there's players that, you know, the G League circuit does them well and they do all right there. And, you know, in a year or two or a couple months, an NBA team calls them up and they get some action. But again, with him being as incomplete of a resume as he has, it might be tough for him even to get onto a G League team.
I'll tell you what, you know who will give him a shot? Going overseas.
Yeah, no, that's the other option. That's what I was about to lead into is he can go overseas where they'll take whatever talent they can get out of American talent, European talent, things like that.
He'll get paid over there.
Mm-hmm.
He could work himself into some kind of whatever their all-star system is depending on the league that he goes to. But if he works himself into an all-star out there and shows that he can play a complete healthy season, then he can come back to the NBA and say, "Hey, look what I did overseas. Give a brother a shot."
But then they ask the question: does he want to go to an Australian league? Does he want to go to a European? Does he want to go to a Turkish, an Israeli, a Chinese league?
Right. Because it all depends on how bad he wants to play professionally.
And the other thing too is those leagues. It's not like those are all guarantees either. The Euro League's one of the better non-NBA basketball leagues in the world. The Australian League has gained some traction over the last 3-4 years, and the Chinese League has been constantly improving. So it's kind of does he want to stick around in East Lansing where he has kind of that support system around him? He has Tom Izzo, and he can grow that way. And, we've seen before where players have just one great breakout season, and it's enough to catch the NBA's eye, and maybe willing to take a chance on a player that, a year or two ago they would have just said, "Nah, you're not really NBA material right now."
Yeah, I agree. And this is the thing, too. I mean, when a player goes through something like this, I've seen many stories like this where a collegiate basketball player or even football player, you've had injury after injury after injury, and sticking around for another year, being in that same space, walking that same campus, going to the same practices, when you've been injured throughout much of your career, it is just a harsh reminder constantly. Sometimes you need a change of setting. Sometimes you need to just get away and start a new chapter in order to just bring your mindset into one that is, all right, now I got a clean slate. I'm healthy. Knock on wood, I'm healthy. Let me go out here and still go after this dream. So whatever Josh decides to do, I think he's going to be successful. Barring that this is the final big injury bugaboo of his. All right, let's hope. Let's hope because, again, he's a great young man who is he has such a great personality. I love when Izzo talks about Josh Langford because he always gets emotional because of just how unfortunate the career of Josh has gone with these foot injuries. But he says that Josh still shows up to practice. He's there every single practice. Every single practice, doing what he can do in his boot to mentor the young players, to chip in and help out wherever he can. And I think that's absolutely awesome, and that speaks to the amazing character that is Joshua Langford. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk some NFL. I do want to touch upon what to watch for in the second to last week of the NFL regular season. That and more, you are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Yes, Feliz Navidad. Happy holidays to you and yours. It is Friday. Again, the final edition of Current Sports before Christmas. We just wrapped up a conversation centered on Joshua Langford and the unfortunate news that broke yesterday during MSU men's basketball practice out of the lips of head coach Tom Izzo that Joshua Langford is done for the year. He will have season-ending foot surgery. And, we just had a brief discussion on what is next for Josh Langford. I want to go to our Facebook page real quick here, facebook.com/WKAR News. Shout out to all of our viewers there. Aaron, Lawrence, Ben. Let's see here. James, Aaron, again. All you guys, thank you guys so much. Those who tune in to Current Sports on the daily, courtesy of our Facebook Live page. Ben says, I can see Josh coming back and either playing one more season or pulling a tum-tum and coming back as a player coach. It all depends on me. You heard my thoughts. I think, again, if Josh gets a review that he doesn't like from the NBA as to where his draft stock is, then I could see him coming back, or I could see him playing overseas professionally. But I don't see Josh coming back as a player coach. I mean, the difference there is, first off, Tom was pretty healthy throughout his MSU men's basketball career. Josh has been a player coach, really, Connor, for the last two seasons now. I mean, he's been sitting on that bench mentoring players and acting as a quote-unquote coach for two seasons. He wants to, you know, go after his dream now. And, you know, and Josh is a five-star prospect. No offense to Tom, but Josh is a much better player and has a much better shot at playing in the NBA than Tom did. So, and I love Tom. Tom was one of the greatest leaders of all time in Michigan State men's basketball history. You know, he did a stint as working with the coaching staff out in Phoenix with the Suns, and then came back. I mean, coaching is in Tom's blood. Josh, I still think he has playing dreams. So, also, I see Aaron comments and says, can you give a shout out to Alex, who never misses a show? Alex, yes, I see Alex every day as well. Alex, thank you so much, my brother, for always tuning in as well. I appreciate you guys. Mike, I see ya. Mike says, I'm on the road today, so I stopped in to wish Al Martin and all of the board ops and my fellow listeners, happy holidays and many more Spartan victories. Looking forward to 2020. Mike, that was such a sweet message. On behalf of us all here at WKAR's Current Sports, happy holidays to you and yours as well. Okay. And real quick, Connor, you know, I saw an interesting story yesterday centered on James Wiseman. Did you see this story?
Yep, we ran it.
Yeah. James Wiseman. He's a big time basketball player for Penny Hardaway's Memphis team. You know, he's missed the past seven games due to a 12-game suspension. That's stemming from an NCAA investigation. And he was set to return against South Florida next month, actually, on January 12th. Well, he announced on Instagram yesterday that he will leave the program, hire an agent, and will now prepare for the 2020 NBA draft. Shocking, right? Now, Wiseman is currently ESPN.com's projected number three pick in next year's NBA draft. And in three games with Memphis, he averaged 19.7 points, 10.7 rebounds, also three blocks. I mean, the dude is 7'1". He has a high, high ceiling. And there are many NBA execs out there that are drooling when looking at James Wiseman. Now, the reason why he was suspended is because the school admitted, Memphis admitted, that Penny Hardaway made an $11,500 payment to Wiseman's mother in 2017. That's before Penny accepted the head coaching job at his alma mater. So Penny paid $11,000 to Wiseman's mother in 2017. That's before he took the head coaching job. But per the NCAA, Hardaway's $1 million donation to the school in 08 made him a booster. Therefore, his payment to Wiseman's mother was an improper benefit. So the school, it said it was going to appeal the NCAA's ruling. Wiseman's lawyers got involved. They filed a temporary injunction that allowed Wiseman to play while the investigation continued. But the NCAA announced that the 12-game suspension last month, they announced that suspension last month, and the school lost its appeal. So I just think that Wiseman kind of got fed up here, Connor, and said that, look, I don't have to deal with this. I'm already a top projected pick. I don't have to deal with this drama. I'm sitting out here. I am going to go to the NBA and fulfill my dream that way. And I tell you what, I love what Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr said, because he was asked about his thoughts on Wiseman leaving school. Now, he couldn't specifically talk about Wiseman because there's rules with that are the whole tampering rules, right? But he did say this, quote, two of the top prospects are playing professionally in Australia. I think the trend is guys are at least starting to think of other options. I know there's been players who have just taken a year off or played at the IMG Academy until they were draft eligible. So the NBA is getting a lot better with player development through the G League. I know there's been talk of changing the rule in terms of draft eligibility. So there's all kinds of things stirring out there, and it looks like the players are considering their options. Look, I have no problem with this, and I think if nothing changed from the side of the NCAA in terms of especially here paying these players, you're going to see a lot of the top prospects, I think, Connor, over time here in the coming years say, okay, college basketball is not my only option here. Honestly, Connor, look, if I'm a top prospect already and I don't need a D1 basketball school to up my resume a bit in order to become the top, you know, draft pick that I already am, why not? And if the NBA still isn't allowing me to jump from high school to the NBA, then why wouldn't I at least think about getting paid for my basketball talents, whether that be the G League or whether that be overseas for a season, and then entering the NBA draft instead of going to college, not getting paid, still, you know, risking injury in my body for a year while not getting any compensation for it. Also, I could be sponsored if I play professionally overseas. I could get some sponsorships and get some moolah in my pocket there, help my family out in ways that I want to. I mean, that's an option that I would seriously consider, and I have no problem with Wiseman making this business decision at the end of the day. And it's a bit odd. I don't know the specifics as to why Penny Hardaway paid his mother $11,000, $11,500. I don't know the specifics behind that, but you current sports listeners know how I feel about that. The whole benefit stuff. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but I have no problem with what Wiseman is doing here. Do you?
I don't have a problem with it. I think the thing that pushed him over the edge was the ridiculous attempt by the NCAA to say, oh, you unpaid college athlete, yeah, you got to pay $11,000 to a charity of your choosing. Okay. For all intents and purposes, he's unemployed. And you're going to tell him, an unpaid athlete, oh, yeah, scrum up some $11,000. Go throw that at somebody.
Right. Exactly.
And if he does drum up that money, you know what the NCAA is going to do then? Oh, we're going to look at him again, how he get $11,000.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That was ridiculous. I think that's what set it over the edge. Because you see these top prospects, they get suspended for things like this before. And, you know,
I mean, it's the Chase Young situation,
yeah,
right?
I think the merits of the suspension are kind of stupid, too, because, you know, I don't buy that. Oh, all of a sudden Penny Hardaway makes a one-time donation and all of a sudden he's the booster. And then all of a sudden now, what are we, over 10 years after the fact, wait a minute now. He made this 10 years ago. That you can connect the dots there. It just seems, the whole thing seems stupid to me. I think the NCAA now especially needs to be very careful about this. You know, they're going to get the players are going to be eligible for sponsorships in the near future, things like that. But I think they need to be careful about ticking off some of these top talent that do end up choosing, even in the long run, where, you know, in 2021, the NBA is probably going to make the draft age 18 again.
Exactly.
And the NBA is pressed on developing their own minor league system,
right,
similar to what we see in baseball and things like that, and just cutting the NCAA out from the majority of the equation. So I think the NCAA needs to be careful going forward, because if they tick off some of these top talent that do decide to come to play college basketball, instead of going overseas or sticking around at an academy or going to the G League, they could be in trouble. They could become, you know.
Well, I want to ask this.
Not as popular.
I think this is a very important question, because I did not like what the NCAA did to Chase Young. He took a loan from a family member he paid that loan back. That went against the NCAA rules.
See, that's ridiculous
I think,
to me.
I think, especially if it's your family member.
It's a family member.
There's a code of privacy there. Now, in this situation, we're talking about Penny Hardaway giving $11,500. This is Penny Hardaway. $11,500 to the mother of one of the top basketball prospects in the nation. I think that there are some differences here.
But that was 10 years ago. Was he a top basketball prospect?
It was 10 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, 10 years. I mean,
Is he Wiseman to go to Memphis?
Excuse me.
With
he
that
was
payment.
A booster in 2008. That was when he was deemed a booster for a one-time donation in 2008. And then in 2017, again, before he's the coach, he's paying Wiseman's mother $11,000 to help her move.
But this is what gets sticky, Connor, because if the top basketball talent in America, if they are receiving moolah, now again, for her moving, that's really nice of Penny to do that. You better believe that, you know, Wiseman, James is looking at that and saying, wow, Penny Hardaway is helping out my mom. Oh, man, I may want to go to Memphis.
No, it would sway him. It's an influence.
It could sway that young man to go to a certain school. That's the problem I have because you start talking about competitive advantages. Not every school out there has, you know, alma maters that like graduates of a university who have gone on to have great NBA careers like Penny Hardaway who can pay – or throw a prospect some moolah to go to a certain school. I think there has to be some regulations here.
No, there should be.
But there also needs to be some codes of privacy here as well.
Here's the thing, too.
And that's where it gets really sticky for me.
For me, it's, you know, if Penny Hardaway gave his $1 million in 2008, and then in 2010 he gave more money, and then in 2012 he's given more money.
So you're saying if it's just one time, it's cool?
If it's a one-time donation, I don't think that makes him a booster. That seems foolish to me.
I'm talking about the one time payment to Wiseman's mother.
That's where it gets a little cloudy. That's where it gets a little bit murky.
If you have all these schools going after Wiseman, and let's say Michigan State was in the mix, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't know, Draymond Green pays Wiseman's mom, you know, $11,000, and Wiseman's like, oh man, at Michigan State, I'm going there. They helped out my mama with some money. Is that fair?
I don't know, it doesn't seem fair. But my point is that if you're like, to my knowledge, Penny Hardaway, I get, yeah, he graduated there, but the donation he made, that big donation, is a one-time gig. It's not like a Draymond Green where we see him, he's donated multiple times, and you see him around campus, and he's constantly there. To my knowledge, Penny wasn't a constant presence at Memphis. So to me, making a one-time donation 10 years before the fact doesn't make you a booster. That seems to me like if a fan out there donated, let's say, $200 to Michigan State, and then all of a sudden they're talking to a recruit because they happen to see him or something like that. You're gonna attack the school because the random person on the street gave money and he was deemed a booster.
What do you think? This is Penny Hardaway. This is Penny Hardaway. It's a big name, man.
I just don't feel comfortable with someone doing something you're a booster now.
What I don't feel comfortable with, every case is different. I mean, in Chase Young's case.
That was ridiculous.
That was his family member, somebody very close to him, a part of the family. He needed some help, and he paid the loan back. How he did that, I have no idea. But he paid the loan back. And in this case, I don't know. I'm all for collegiate athletes getting paid and getting their moolah. They deserve that. All right, this is America. You guys know how I feel about that. But there needs to be some regulations on outside entities possibly giving moolah to these players Because I think that could sway a player to go to a certain school.
See,
and I don't know if that's fair because every school can't do that.
Okay, see, because I just looked up what the NCAA defines as a booster, and they say they have participated in it or is a member of the organization of promoting the university's athletics. So to me, a booster is someone who is frequently donating to the athletic program. Mm. It's not someone who makes a one-time gig and then, for all intents and purposes, is not working with the university. I feel like when we say NCAA booster, it's someone who has a direct connection, is directly working with the university to make their athletics program better. And to me, to my knowledge, Penny Hardaway making a one-time payment doesn't qualify as a booster. I understand.
So you think the rule of the
fact
what defines a booster, the definition of what defines a booster should be changed.
That's the biggest thing for me because, yes, yeah, him making the money, you know, a couple years before Wiseman comes in, that is, you know, many people consider that, you know, not an unfair advantage.
Right.
But
okay.
When you have the definition of booster being someone who is, or the connotation that they're directly involved with the athletic program and they're pushing an agenda in the athletic program and they have some level of control and some level of university interest in mind.
And all I'm saying is that $11,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. So I kind of get it. With Chase Young, I think that was totally different. That's like my uncle hit me. I told the story of when I was in college. I would get money all the time because I'm struggling. I'm struggling up in East Lansing. You know, I'm eating ramen noodles every dang night. And you know, and my uncle decides to throw me a few bucks to help me out. That's totally different, man. That should be within the privacy of my personal
exactly.
business.
So, exactly.
All right, let's hear our final break. When we come back, we'll talk some NFL when we come back, promise. we'll give you guys some and I got a fantasy football question, man. I'm in a tight situation here. But we'll give you guys what to look forward to this weekend in NFL football, the second week the second to last week of the NFL season, regular season. We'll be right back, folks.
From the land where palm trees sway, here we know that Christmas will be.
Hit it! You give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, rock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap been about to happen like a knee. You were slapping or I told you been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red suited dude with a friendly attitude and a slave full of goodies for the people.
Oh, that's awesome. A little Curtis Blow Christmas rapping. I think that one came out in like 1979, something like that. Curtis Blow, man. Gotta love Curtis Blow. One of the greatest to ever do it. One of the first to ever do it behind the mic. So, happy holidays to you guys out there. And, you know, this, I got a fantasy football question, Connor. I'm in a bit of a pickle here because it is championship weekend and I am in the finals of Jack Ebling's fantasy football league. I have defeated everybody. I finished first. And I'm taking on the I don't even know who it is, but the second best team in the league. And I'm a 4-point underdog.
Ooh.
Guess which two quarterbacks I have to decide upon this weekend. Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz.
Oh, you gotta go Carson.
Dak Prescott has a shoulder injury.
Oh, you gotta
go
Carson.
He's got a wrist injury. He's got a finger injury. But Carson Wentz and his offense, they are now down. They have another wide receiver injury. I don't even know who it is, but I read that this morning.
Who the hell's catching passes for them now?
Right. He is down to two wide receivers.
Ooh.
On the entire roster.
You ain't got any free agents?
Like, dude, what do I do? Do I start Dak and roll the dice on his shoulder going against a pretty porous Philadelphia Eagles defense?
That secondary is the worst in the league,
it's
too.
Really bad. Or do I go with Carson Wentz, who is fully healthy, but Carson Wentz is throwing to John Smith and Bob who? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Mm. I don't know what to do here, man. So I put in Carson Wentz for right now.
I'll tell you this. The Eagles' defense is 32nd in the league in passes defense.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, though,
but
has been making the
how
most.
How bad is the injury? That's why I want to know it.
That's the other thing, too, is I feel like they're gonna be use Ezekiel as a crutch because I feel like if the Cowboys go up by like a point, they're just going to try to run out the clock because Jason Garrett can't coach.
And Carson Wentz, I think it's best probably to start Carson because he's going to try and do too much because he doesn't have a lot of talent out there. He'll probably run with his legs a lot.
And if Dallas gets up, garbage time passing. That's a big part, too.
Go with Carson, then.
I think you should go with Carson because the injuries, you just don't know.
Okay, just I'm going with Carson. If I lose, I'm hunting you down. Happy holidays.
I don't know.
We'll see what happens. All right, brother. I want you to, as we close out this hour and this week here on Current Sports, what are your sexiest storylines that you're looking forward to going into this weekend of the NFL, which is going to be a pretty big weekend as there are a lot of teams right there fighting for playoff positioning. What are you looking forward to watching the most, guys?
I think Bills-Patriots is going to tell you everything you need to know about the AFC playoffs. I mean, we all know it's going to be Ravens are going to be at the top, but I think if the Bills can go into Foxborough and if they either win or they lose by like a point, I think teams are going to smell blood in the water with the Patriots, and I don't think it's going to turn out well for them come the postseason. I think that's a huge game for both Buffalo and New England. If New England walks all over Buffalo, I think they can find a little bit of their swagger back and get back into a little bit of rhythm. But if Buffalo can come in there and make them uncomfortable, I think a lot of other teams are going to feel emboldened against the Patriots.
Gotcha. Any other storylines there?
Another fun one over the weekend is the Texans Titans are going to be fighting it out. They both have the Texans have an advantage of playing the Buccaneers, but the Titans are playing the Saints. It's going to be a real close one. If the Texans lose and the Titans can win, or if the Texans lose, it's going to be an interesting last week matchup against those two teams.
All right. Well, I'll be flying to see the fam out in Florida for Christmas, but I'm going back to Detroit this weekend to see some of the fam out there and spend the holidays with them before I catch a flight probably on Monday or Tuesday morning. Flying Christmas Eve, though, I'm a little nervous because that's just insane. Good luck, right? What about you, Connor? What are you doing for the holidays real quick with 20 seconds left?
Driving back down to Virginia, and I'll be back up here for New Year's Eve.
What day are you driving down?
23rd, after work.
Gotcha. All right. Well, happy holidays to you and yours. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners out there. We'll see you after Christmas, folks. Be easy, people.